want to thank you for being here. If you have your Bible, please stand with me, if you would, as in the honor of reading God's Word. And we will look at 1 John chapter 3. We'll read three verses. 1 John 3, starting in verse 10. It says, "By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous." Let's pray. Father, as we begin to look at your word, I pray that you would open our hearts so that we may receive what you want us to receive today. Lord, give us an open mind to believe it, eyes to see it, ears to hear it, and a will to obey it, Lord. Help me to be a plain preacher this morning, so plain that a child could understand my place and accountability on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going through this epistle. We're going through this letter of 1 John. And 1 John is writing to a group of Christians. They need to know some stuff. There's false teachers creeping in, and they are misleading, misguiding. And so he is writing for some correction. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, he tells us that it's obvious who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. And one defining factor that it's going to be is love for one another and love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we should love one another. And he gives an example of what not to be like, or who not to be like. And he says, do not be like Cain. Now, if you've went to maybe Sunday school growing up as a kid, or you sat in Bible studies, or you read just the first chapter of the Bible, you thought, well, you know what, everybody tells me to read the Bible, maybe I'll start at the very first chapter, maybe you made it through the fourth chapter, and you were introduced to a man named Cain. And so for him, for John to reference a historical person and to tell us not to be like this person, I think it's important for us to know and go back to this account and understand what it is that caused Cain to do what he did, so that we do not mimic that and we do not follow that example. Okay? So what we'll do is, if you have your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 4. That is the first book of the Bible, Genesis 4, and we have it on the screen if you do not have it. But if you have your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 4, and we will look at this account. Now, in the very beginning, in chapter 4, this is after the fall. We had the creation of God's account in Genesis 1 and 2, how God made everything, then it was good. He made man and woman as the apex of God's creation. He told them to be fruitful and multiply. He said, out of all the trees that you are here, you may eat. Just do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed. They did not listen. Eve ate from the tree, gave it to her husband. He ate. And then sin entered the world, and judgment fell. God placed a curse upon man, a woman, and Satan. In that, he gave a prophecy. He said that there will be enmity between your seed and his seed, the woman's seed, and his seed, Satan's seed. They will constantly fight. He says he will bruise you on the heel, but you will crush his head. That was a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. That was the first prophetic message of the cross and resurrection there, all the way back in Genesis. Eve, however, thinks that she is going to redeem herself, and so she has a son. And when she has a son, she makes some kind of a bragging about that she has made a man. It says, now the man had relationship with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. She thought that maybe that this was the promised seed. It wasn't. As we will see, Cain had a different type of heart. Many theologians think that Cain and Abel were twins. We're not for sure about that, but they were brothers. We don't know if they were exactly twins or they were born relatively kind of close to the same age. But nonetheless, she had Cain. And then the Bible says, and again she gave birth to his brother Abel. Okay? So we have two sons that are born to Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. It says that Abel was a keeper of flocks, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. So you have Abel, he's a rancher, right? He's got him some cows and horses and camels, and I don't know what all they had back there, but they had all kinds of, you know, they had animals. He was a rancher. And we have Cain, he was a farmer. He had a fruit market, right? He had farmer's market through the week, and he worked the ground, okay? Both jobs ordained of God. Nothing wrong with either one of those. Good, wholesome, good working jobs. Both of them could be used to glorify the Lord. Can I tell you that no matter what you do, no matter where you work, you can use that to glorify God. You don't have to be a preacher to have a job that is pleasing in the sight of God. Everybody said, amen. All right? If you can swing a hammer, you swing a hammer for the glory of God. Right? If you can paint, you paint for the glory of God. No matter what you do, if you teach for the glory of God. Right? I mean, you do whatever you need to do. If you can clean, you clean for the glory of God. Speaking of cleaning, by the way, this just popped in my mind. Not only do we need help this evening, but on Thursdays at 6:30, guess what happens here at the church? Anybody want to take a wild guess? Cleaning, right. There's about five of us. Now, starting next week through the month of the rest of August, September, and October, I won't be able to make it out on Thursday nights, but I will be able to come back in November. There's usually about five of us that come out here and clean the church, and it takes us about an hour, okay? That's not that long, really, if you think about it. So if we had a few more people that come out and help on Thursday nights at 6:30, that would be great, okay? Some of you sit there and you say, I can't do anything for the Lord. I haven't got any gifts. I haven't got any talents. Well, let me ask you, can you hold a broom? Huh? Because if you can hold a broom, God can use you here at Living Water Church. Amen? If you can sweep, how many of y'all can use a sweeper? Huh? Anybody? Nobody's going to raise their hand, right? Okay, you're enlisted right there. You come on out there. A sweeper. Guys, don't be ashamed to own that you can work a sweeper. Right? That's a holy occupation. Amen? That's how I met my wife. I was at the BSU. I graduated from Moorhead State with my teaching degree. And I lived at the Baptist Student Union. And I got to stay there for free. Now, the way that I paid for it was we had chores to do. We had jobs to do. And my chore was to sweep the chapel. And every Tuesday and Thursday, there was a bunch of girls that would come up and mess that whole chapel up. But now, I was single, so I really didn't mind that. And I would get there just even a little bit early, you know, just to see who these evil people were, right? And that's where I got introduced to my lovely wife, Michelle, and met her. And probably, I'm thinking, for all you single guys out there, see, here's a trick. You know, I'm thinking that she probably was sold on me when she realized that I could vacuum. She probably said, now that's a guy that I might could marry. And so whatever you do it for the glory of who? God, okay? So no matter what you do, no matter what job you have, it can be used to please God. So you had Cain, you had Abel, okay? They were brothers. They were born in the same family. They had the same opportunities. They were worshiped the same God. They both had good jobs, okay? They both worked. They both were working and had respectable jobs, okay? But there's a difference between these two. And as we read on, we're gonna see this difference. It says, verse 3, so it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Okay? Now, you'll want to underline the word fruit, and you'll want to notice that that is singular and not plural. Okay? He came and brought an offering from the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the what? Firstlings, the first fruits, the best of his flock, and the fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So we have two brothers, okay? They worship the same God. They worship at the same place. And they both bring an offering. And God is pleased with one and displeased with the other. And so your question is why? Why? If you notice, what the scripture tells us is that when Cain brought his offering, there was nothing wrong with bringing an offering of vegetables, of fruit, because that's what he did for a living. This was an offering. This was not a sacrifice. Okay? There is such thing as a grain offering. So there was nothing wrong with bringing the Lord fruit. But notice what Cain brought. Cain brought from the fruit of the land. And Abel, what was he going to bring? Well, he was a herder. He was a rancher. And so he had killed an animal, and he brought the best to the Lord. He brought of the first fruits. He didn't take a maimed animal. He didn't take a weak animal. He didn't take a sickly animal. He brought the best animal to the Lord and the fat portions. He had a heart to worship God with his very best. Cain did not. Cain decided that he's going to go to church and he was going to worship God the way Cain wanted to worship God. That he would give what he decided to give. That he would honor God the way that he decided to honor God. Whereas Abel had a heart to say, Lord, I know you are the giver of all things, and that there is nothing that I have that belongs to me, and I want to bring you my very best because you are my God and you deserve the best I have. That's a different kind of attitude, isn't it? You see, one came with a hand of gift of best and a heart filled of worship, and one had a heart set on self. And he brought something, but he didn't bring his best. How many of you all bring your best to God? How many of you bring your very best to him? You give of your resources best. You give of your time best. You give of your energy best. You give of your talents best. You know, because some people, we play this game with God, don't we? Because if we would look at Cain and Abel, and those of us who know the story of Cain and Abel, and we were to ask, well, which one are you, Locke? How many of us quickly would say, we're Locke who? Abel. Well, I'm Abel. I'm like Abel. I don't want to be like Cain. You know, like Cain, you know, he's a bad guy, you know, he's bad. But if we're honest with ourselves, if I'm honest with myself, many times I find that I am a lot like Cain. What about you? A lot of times I think that I'm going to tell God how I'm going to worship him, how I'm going to serve him. Well, Lord, here's what I'm going to do for you. How many of y'all ever kind of think like that? Am I the only one in here that's ever like Cain? Or some of you like Cain too? If you could admit, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to do it. No. Here's the deal. We don't go and worship God on our terms. We go and worship God on his terms. And so this is how he says to worship him. That's how we worship him. This is what he says for us to do. That's what we do. We don't dictate to God, this is what we're going to do. We allow him to dictate to us. What do you think? That is a whole different way to worship. How many of you all would invite somebody to go out to eat? Let's just throw a scenario up out here. You invite them to go eat. You say, hey, I tell you what, let's go out to eat Wednesday at the Cattleman's, because it's supposed to open when? I think tomorrow or someplace. I think I had a dream about it. I thought, well, man, nice steakhouse. That'll be nice. They ought to have good steak. I mean, if you have a name like Cattleman's and you don't have good steak, there's a problem, right? So hopefully they got good steak. How many of y'all say, hey, let's meet up Wednesday evening? Well, let's don't do Wednesday because we're going to be at church on Wednesday, right? So let's say Tuesday. So Tuesday, let's go out to dinner. And you take somebody out to dinner. Now, how many of y'all would do this, okay? You take somebody out to dinner. And you say, man, I want to take you. I want to treat you. I want to pay for your dinner. And we're going to have a great time, you know. And you'd be like, man, sounds great. You know, free meal, you know. And so you get there and you sit down. And the guy the person's taking you out to eat, they order. They order them a big, nice ribeye, you know. Baked potato, butter and sour cream. Get some rolls, get a salad. I better stop talking about this. You all going to be getting hungry on me, aren't you? We're going to be needing to go. And then they start eating it. And you're sitting there thinking, well, I wonder where my food's coming. And they eat most of the steak. They leave about, you know, this little bit, and you see them push it off to the side. And they're eating that baked potato, and they portion off about a sixth of the baked potato, and they kind of push that off to the side. And they munching down on their salad, you know, and they're eating and crunching on the croutons and all kinds of good stuff, you know, and you're sitting there. And they put a little bit of leaves of the lettuce over there for you to over there to the side. And then they get done eating, and they push the plate over, and they say, here you go. Now, how many of y'all would be like, boy, that's not right. That is not even right. How many of y'all would think that was pretty crazy? Anybody? All right. How many of y'all would be like, oh, man, thank you. That's wonderful. You didn't eat that part. How about the other thing you didn't eat? I mean, how many of y'all would be just glad and happy to have the leftovers? Anybody? Now, maybe if you're starving, yeah. We would never. How many of y'all would do that to someone? How many of y'all would take someone out to eat, order for yourself, eat what you wanted, and then whatever you didn't eat, slide it over the table and say, here's your meal? How many of y'all would do that? I don't think any of us would do that. Now, we might do that to our enemy. We're not going to do that to our friend, right? But how often do we do that to God? Right? We say, I really need this, and I really need that, and I really want to do this, and I really want to do that, and we spin, and then we go, whoop, here you go, God. Or we go, we got so much talent and gifts, and we use it on ourselves, we promote ourselves, and we do things for ourselves to build up ourselves, and we say, Lord, if I have any left over, then I'll give you some of my time. If I have any left over, then I'll give you some of my talent. How many of us give God our leftovers? That's what Cain did. He gave his leftovers. He didn't give his best. He gave his leftovers. And God wasn't pleased. God wasn't pleased. He received Abel's, but he didn't receive Cain's. Now, how did Cain respond? Now, watch this. In verse 5, it says, but for Cain he brought his offering, and the Lord God had no regard. So Cain, look at the verse 5, Cain became what? Very angry, and his countenance fell. They both worshiped the same God. They both went to the same house of worship. They both had jobs. They both had the opportunity to worship God with their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. One did, and one didn't. One's offering was because he gave the very best and said, God, this is yours. I want to bless you with it. I want to honor you with it. Thank you, God, for your goodness and greatness. And God said, that's the kind of worshiper I'm pleased with. And Cain said, you know what? Here, you can just have this, God. I've done my duty. God says, I'm not pleased with that. Now, Cain could have responded two different ways. He could have responded with repentance, but he responds with anger, jealousy, and revenge. He gets mad. He gets mad not just at God, but he gets mad at his brother. Now, let me ask you something. Was it his brother's fault that his offering was not pleasing to God? Yes or no? His brother didn't have any. He wasn't his fault. Think what I'm going to say, so I just say it simple. Wasn't his fault, right? Wasn't his fault. It's his brother's fault. It's amazing to me how jealous Christians are of other Christians. It's amazing to me how when somebody succeeds, someone's other going, well, I can't believe God would do that for them. It's amazing to me that when somebody obeys God and has a full heart of surrender and worship and does what God says to do and the blessing of what God promises follows, that other Christians can't celebrate that. It's amazing to me that other ministries that succeed and, well, you know, how come that ministry is doing well? How come this is doing well? How come that's not? You know, and some people, they can't be a part of anything if they're not leading it. They can't do anything unless they're not recognized. Because why? Because, I'm Cain. It's about me. I'll come to God my way, Lord. This is how I'll serve you. Where Abel says, Lord, you've given me everything. I'm giving you the best that I have to offer. Just thank you, God, for giving me life. Giving me health. Giving me the ability to worship you. Cain gets angry. He gets angry at God. He gets angry at his brother. Hey, let me tell you something. There are 66 bags of seed right here in this book that everybody holds and possesses. Don't get mad at me if I use the seed and sow it and God blesses it and you sit there and don't. The same promise that was for Abel was the same promise for Cain. The same God who accepted Abel's offering was the same God that would have received Cain's offering if he had given it the way that God said to give it, but he didn't. Now what happens? Watch what happens. Verse 6, God gives Cain a chance to repent. He gives Cain a chance to have a different heart. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? God says, Cain, what's wrong with you? You know, why are you so upset? Do you not have the ability to come and worship me just like anybody else? What's your problem? And he goes on and he says, if you do well, verse 7, will not your countenance be lifted up? What's he telling Cain? If you'll worship me with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you'll come to me like I've asked you to come to me, will you not your countenance be lifted up? Have you all realized this? When you do it God's way, it works out a lot better. When you do it God's way, it works out better. And when I'm worshiping God and I'm following God and I'm loving God and I'm obeying God, man, it makes my countenance a little better. What about you? How many of you all feel better on Sunday mornings when you know you've been faithfully living for God all week, huh? How many of y'all know sometimes it seems like you're just worshiping, you know? And how many of y'all have been acting ornery all week? And you come into church and you're like, Lord, thank you, praise you. You know, you're sitting there like, you know, you can't look up. Why? Because you feel like you're not doing what you know you should be doing. But someone you repent, admit, say, Lord Jesus, man, I acted like a fool this week. Will you forgive me? He says, I'll forgive you. It lifts your countenance back up, doesn't it? Man, repent. Cain could have repented. He could have said, Lord, God, you're right, man. I didn't bring my best. Abel, my brother, did, and I'm jealous of him, and I'm getting all mad at him, and, you know, he hasn't done anything to me, and I'm angry at him. It's me. It's my fault. It's not his fault. It's not your fault, God. It's my fault. Change my heart, God. And you know what? If he would have had a repentant heart, his countenance would have been lifted up. Because why? Because God would have been pleased with him. Now watch. He says, and if you do not do well, he warns him. If you do not do well, he says, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. He says, Cain, I'm warning you. This spirit that's on you of anger, jealousy, bitterness, it's going to destroy you. Do you all know how dangerous envy and jealousy and bitterness is to your health? Some people, they get so jealous of other people or other, and so envious that it will physically make them sick. If you're here this morning and you are battling a spirit of envy, of jealousy, of anger, of bitterness, of all those things, it will destroy you. And I'm here to tell you, as God told Cain, you better watch out. It's right at your door. It's going to destroy you. You better master it. Because Cain didn't listen. And you know what Cain did? It says that Cain, verse 8, told his brother Abel. Now, I'm sure he didn't come and ask Abel, "Abel, I need some advice, man. I've not been living like I should. Would you help and encourage me to be more a follower of God?" He could have done that, could have he not? But he didn't. So he probably goes and has a gripe session with Cain, with Abel, and then at some time later, he convinces him to go out into the field. This is premeditated. And it says, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel and he slew his brother and he killed him. He killed his very own brother. Why? What would make a person kill their own flesh and blood? He's so angry and he's so jealous that Abel's offering was welcomed by God and his got rejected. And instead of repenting of his sin and going to the Lord, he rejected God's grace and he took revenge. And that's what envy, jealousy, bitterness, and all those forms of sin will do. It will destroy not only you, but those around you. It'll make you behave in ways that you would never behave normally. It'll make you say things that you would never say. It'll make you do things that you would never do. And Cain did something extreme. He goes out and he murders his own brother. So it affects someone else, and then it banishes Cain even further from Eden. He went further east of Eden, out of the presence of God, because he did not repent. He did not listen. He did not respond. This morning, we have an opportunity to hear from God. Okay? We have an opportunity to let God check us and about who we are, how we are, and how we respond, and how we're walking with God, and how we're living for Him, and where we stand with Him. And as we come to this closing of the service, I really want to ask and encourage everyone here to try to be self-reflective, if you could. If you could just for a moment have some time with God, and ask yourself some questions, okay? So as the praise team is getting us ready for our invitation, I want us to ask if you would just bow your head and close your eyes. And as they begin to lead us in some worship and singing, I want to have some time where you just begin to talk to God. And I want to ask you this question. If you were to ask the Lord this question and listen to what He would say, would you ask Him, "Lord, how is my worship before you, God? Is it pleasing in your sight? Is my worship, God, pleasing in your sight? Is the way that I live my life pleasing in your sight? Am I bringing my best to you, God?" Would you let Him talk to you right now? If there's areas in your life that you're giving Him the leftovers in, would you allow Him to point that out to you this morning? Would you ask Him, "Lord, is there anything that I'm doing that's displeasing? Am I bringing anything before you, Lord, that's not my best? Whether that be my time, my energy, my resources, my faithfulness, my work. Am I doing everything the best that I can do for your glory and your praise?" Would you let Him talk to you and show you areas maybe that you might be weak in or failing in? And when He speaks to you, would you not be like Cain and harbor anger, jealousy, bitterness in your heart? but say, Lord Jesus, I haven't been doing right. And today I want to lay that and confess that down before you, God. And say, today it changes. Today I want to thank you for the blessings that you have given me. I want to thank you for my mind, for my health, for my job, for my family, for all the things that you have been so good to bless me with. And I want to lay it down before you, and I want to give my best to you, God. I'm going to offer my best in obedience to you, Jesus. Some of you, we've been taking the 90-day challenge, and some of you have been taking that. And God's, I've already heard some amazing testimonies about that. God's doing some really neat stuff. And so this morning, let's let him work. Father, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, and let's sing.